Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This episode is going to be about Christmas and its ancient witchcraft origins. So the reason for the season is witchcraft, I guess. What do you think of that, Christian? Witchcraft is the reason for the season.
I am the reason for the season.
Well, you are a Christian day born on Christmas Day, so I guess you do get to have a little bit of a... And, you know, we can talk about some of the things that we can compare between, you know, some of the mythologies and you. You could be one of the mythologies. It'll be awesome. So we did want to explain that we are sort of reformatting the show a little bit to where we're going to be picking topics and inviting guests to speak on the topics instead of making the show around the guest. That way, when it is just me and Christian, we'll still be centering around a topic instead of just, you know, bantering. Though, you know, we're going to probably get off topic because it's us. So it'll probably happen. But, you know, tonight's subject is going to be about Christmas and the magic of Christmas and why, you know, why do we look at Christmas as something we should shun? I think that a lot of people go through this period when they get into the craft to where, you know, they're like, I don't celebrate Christmas. I know I did. I don't celebrate Christmas. I celebrate the solstice. And you sort of brush off all those childhood, you know, traditions and try to, you know, reclaim or rebuild, which there's nothing wrong with that. But, in fact, meeting Christian sort of brought me full circle because I had kind of, you know, stepped away from Christmas and I tried to transfer a lot of those, you know, things onto the solstice. However, Christmas is a huge deal in my family. Hey, you're doing the weird breathing thing again? Darth Vader?
I am.
Star Wars.
I think it's because I have an omnidirectional mic. I'm not sure how to stop that. I need a better
headset. It sounds really scary, though. You should have told me that. Maybe Santa would have brought you one. Well, anyway, so, as I was saying, you know, meeting Christian, it was like, well, it's his birthday, too. So I was like, okay, universe, you got me. I'm stuck celebrating Christmas no matter what, so I'm just going to embrace the whole season. And, you know, I sort of started looking at it as, you know, through the last few years, it's all sort of one thing. You know, Christmas does have its own magic that's intimately connected to the solstice. But, you know, it's also a magic that starts in our childhood, and it has a lot of family origins, a lot of ancestral origins. And, you know, one of my favorite things was when Christian and I first decorated our first tree, you know, the origin of the Christmas tree obviously has, you know, some mirrors of pagan roots. But, you know, Christian has sort of like this, it was a big thing for him because, go ahead and tell us about how you started with, you know, with your ornaments and how they're, you know, what you had, because I didn't know until you whipped them out, and what that meant to you and what it means to you now.
I just had to turn the volume up. I could barely hear you. Well, ever since I was born, my mother bought a Christmas ornament every year. Isn't that a tradition for a lot of people? I just always assumed it was.
We never did it. I'd never seen it before. I'm sure other people do, though.
Oh, I always thought that was a thing, but I don't know. Maybe it's just where I'm from, or I never gave it much thought. But I don't know if I have every year, and they're certainly not marked every year. You know, from my childhood, but I know that a lot of them were annual ornaments, and that was always like our way of commemorating something new on the tree. And we always did a fresh tree, so it's weird for me now doing a fake one, but I do have to say, this one looks incredibly real, and it took me under 10 minutes to set up. And I mean, I remember when I had this apartment in 1998 with these giant ceilings. They actually weren't as tall as these ceilings, but they were, you know, for up where I lived, they were enormous. And I had an 11-foot Christmas tree. And it was so difficult to set up, you know, because they're always tilting this way or that way. And, you know, I had to keep, you know, sawing at it to try to get it in just the right place that it would stand in the stand. And then I had to tie strings to the wall so it wouldn't fall over. And now I've just got this thing. It's just boom, boom, boom.
And the lights already attached. You don't even have to string the lights, which is the worst part of
right. The lights are already there, and they're LED. So that was always my worry with Christmas lights too. Is I'm terrified of fire, and so I didn't want to have you know, lights on a real tree. And these are LEDs, and they go from those tacky colored lights to the to the elegant white lights. It's almost like a golden white light.
So I just think it was weird because we've got these ornaments on our trees that are like from when you were a baby, and they look, they're creepy as hell. Like they're the weirdest, like practically moldy old little weird dolls with weird plastic faces where the paint's like faded off, but they're still looking at you from beyond. And then we've got, you know, we've got all the way up to the modern ones. Like this year, our friend Sandra gave us, I guess, our new ornament, which was an ornament of Krampus, which is amazing. I was super stoked by that. So we've got all kinds of different ornaments. But I thought, what a wonderful way, you know, to even incorporate magic is to, you know, these ornaments become, you know, they can become meanings or they can symbolize something to you. And as you hang it on the tree each year, you know, it becomes a ritual. I did do a really cool Yule tree once. So we got like a Christmas tree, and we did it all with fruits and pentagrams and moons. I think ours is a little bit beyond that. So it's like everything under the rainbow, from the Wizard of Oz to, you know, Satan. They're all on the tree.
So Lindsay Lou on the chat room. And by the way, if people want to call in, the number is 347-308-8731. You know, it's a night of sharing traditions. Magical and otherwise here at Christmas time and Yuletide. Lindsay Lou on the chat said that it's tradition in my family to receive a new ornament from our parents each year. Done it since we were kids. Oh, so they're still doing it.
Nice.
I think there was an occasional time my mother would give me an ornament in adulthood, but not always. A lot of them were me that I got over the years. And each of them represents something, not always necessarily magical, but, you know, there certainly are magical ones on there, and every one is sort of a spell of a way, you know, and it's connecting us to an energy or an archetype, whether it's the Evil Queen or whether it's Krampus or whether it's Glinda, you know, they're all connecting to some aspect of something that we want to identify with. You know, so there is something magical to that, I think.
Well, I read once that, you know, the idea was, and I've never really verified this true, like I say, the Christmas tree mirrors pagan traditions. I don't know that this is right. But, you know, the idea of, you know, venerating the tree, I mean, you can go to Celtic countries and other regions of the world now where they still do that. They hang charms and ribbons and prayers as offering to trees that are sacred to certain spirits or fairies. So this is sort of that same idea. You know, it's kind of the reason why, like, if you look at ornaments, a lot of times they sort of look like, you know, they could be fruits. Like, think about the regular, you know, ball, you know, which is also a great, you know, it's a great potential witch's ball. It's reflective of it. So, you know, I think there's lots of things that you could do as a witch to take, you know, something like the Christmas tree and make it magical. I mean, Yule logs are fine, I suppose, you know. I mean, we did a Yule log this year. It was creatively done, but I was always taught, you know, that it's a log, and you burn it in the fire, you know, and there's meanings behind it, of course, but it's not really something to decorate your house with. A lot of people have sort of gone on to the modern, you know, the modern tradition of making it basically like a candle holder, and it's almost like you've taken the Christmas tree and the menorah and created sort of a fusion of something new, which is fine, you know, it's great, especially if you don't have a fireplace, perfectly symbolic way. It's just never, the candles have never been lit, so I prefer to try to burn it in the fire, but I love Christmas trees. I think that they're very magical, and, you know, certainly don't really seem to come from the Bible, so... Where do they come from? Why do we feel the need to decorate the tree? You know, what are the origins of Christmas? You know, it's like the winter solstice, first of all. That's where all of these holidays really come from, is that people, you know, in ancient times, you know, figured out that this, you know, the movements of the sun and the stars and the moon, and they figured out that this was a special time. And so holidays started popping up around it. But actually, December 25th isn't just Christian's birthday. You know, it's not just Christian Day that was born on December 25th. You know, they say Jesus was, although some people say he was born in January.
For Christ's sake, why is Jesus? Can't I have one day out of the year? And it's going to belong to Jesus.
It's going to belong to Jesus. Well, it also belongs to Horus. If you look up, you know, Egyptian... you know, religion, December 25th was the day that they celebrated the birth of Horus. It also was the day that Mithra was born, and they celebrated it in Rome. In fact, it was a very aristocratic thing at that time to worship Mithra, and they did. They celebrated. So there's lots of these iconic hero / sun gods who are born at this time, and well, of course it is. It's the winter solstice. It's when we, you know, where the light's coming back, and if you put yourself into a time when it was really hard to live in the winter, not just because you had to shovel snow, but because, you know, there was disease, lack of food, and, you know, people dying left and right. This was the promise that it was going to be over, you know, and that things were going to start getting better, and it was kind of a reminder. And lots of traditions have been lost around Christmas. Carrie was just talking about how, you know, we're reminded, it was either Carrie or Steve, that they used to tell ghost stories on Christmas. That was actually a thing, ghost stories. So, you know, interestingly enough. Now, Sean Poirier, you Christian, you're doing the Darth Vader thing again. Darth Vader. Your lack of faith disturbs me. You know, we were talking earlier about some of these traditions. And I know that, you know, I was talking to Sandra, and she, you know, she said that Sean treated the winter solstice like it was Christmas, and I'm assuming you did that in that coven. You want to clarify that?
Well, I did that before Sean came along. I always loved Christmas because of my family. You know, you can celebrate Christmas culturally and just mix it all together. It doesn't have to be so divided up, you know. I mean, we definitely, our coven definitely did things at Christmas time. We exchanged presents, and Sean was the one that got me doing the hints.
Oh, yeah, that he insists I do now. You've tried to read them.
You know, we put the hints on the little gift tag, you know, to give it some sense of what it might be lurking about in the box.
What could be there?
I'm looking at a description for this book by Stephen Nissenbaum, who co-authored probably the best analysis of the Salem witch trials ever written, Salem Possessed. And he wrote a book in 97 called The Battle for Christmas. And he talks about how most of modern Christmas, like the commercial domesticity and, you know, courier knives and what have you, all comes from the 19th century.
Yep.
That it was very much a, you know, something created in the 1800s as a, you know, way of connecting, and it drew along a lot of the old pagan things, but it also added a lot of other things. And but it was saying in one other thing I just read that Professor Ronald Hutton, you know him, Professor Hutton made a comment that this was a time when often in certain cultures, when it was exceptionally cold, winter had already set in, and so this was the perfect time for a feast, you know, because you get cabin fever and you get sick of, you know, not being able to get out of the house. I mean, we don't see that as much where we are. you know, it's...
I don't know. I think you and I might suffer from cabin fever. It could be a thing.
Well, it says here, Christmas in America hasn't always been the benevolent family-centered holiday we idealize. The Puritans of the Massachusetts Bay Colony so feared the day's association with pagan winter solstice revels, replete with public drunkenness, licentiousness, and violence, that they banned Christmas celebrations. In this ever-surprising work, we're talking about this book, The Battle for Christmas, Nissenbaum, a professor of history at the University of Massachusetts, conducts a vivid historical tour of the holiday social evolution. Nissenbaum maintains that not until the 1820s in New York City, among the mercantile Episcopalian Knickerbockers, was Christmas as we know it celebrated. Before Washington Irving and Clement Clark Moore popularized the genteel version, he explains, the holiday was more of a raucous festival, and Christmas, he contends, was a way to contain the chaos of social dislocation in a developing consumer capitalist culture. Later, under the influence of Unitarian writers, the Christmas season, a living object lesson in familial stability and charity, centering on the ideals of bourgeois childhood. From colonial New England through 18th and 19th century New York and Philadelphia's urban Yuletide contributions to Christmas traditions in the antebellum South, Nissenbaum's excursion is fascinating and would startle even those who thought they knew all there was to know about Christmas. Well, I do think a lot of what we do today, the whole commercial aspect, what I would call cultural Christmas, is very modern. But a lot of what they do is bits and pieces taken from old things, but they've made it commercial. You know, it's not.
That's
what
exactly.
It used
it's
to
just
be,
like
certainly.
Halloween, really, in the sense that Halloween mimics these things that people used to do in, on some level, but it's become, a lot of it's modern and was brought back in the Victorian age. The Christmas tree, for instance, I once read, and I wasn't quite sure of the details, but, you know, it was a modern invention in the sense that it was something somebody started. I don't know who that is, so I haven't recently done the research, so if somebody knows more, they can correct me, but I still think somehow, you know, it's like it's not something somebody just whipped out. Like it comes from something, you know. And
no,
a lot
but
of
yeah, well,
that
true.
Is
but I'm reading this piece now on Live Science that, despite the spread of Christianity, midwinter festivals did not become Christmas for hundreds of years. So the pagan, like even the converted people continued to celebrate midwinter festivals.
The
before,
pagan festivals, yeah. Or we said that word that we're trying to avoid.
Right, they may not have continued to call them. Well, they may not have even called them that. By that point, they may have been secular, but at some point.
Well, I think Yule or Yuletide was a very popular, you know, thing in Britain that they did call it that because it was brought by the Saxons and the Vikings.
It may have become secular before Christianity grafted religion on top of it. You know what I mean? There may have.
Oh,
it's
I'm
sort of
sure.
Like
yeah.
It's sort of like me celebrating Christmas. There's people who will do these things for, you know, cultural reasons, and they don't necessarily have that much religious significance at that point.
How does it feel to have the entire world celebrating your birthday?
Well, they're not. I always got cheated. I mean, my mother.
Well, I guess it's not the entire
married.
World. It's like America and some of Europe. So.
I guess I never really knew how I stacked up against anybody else because I was an only child, you know, but there were those relatives that would get me, you know, they'd get all
oh,
the kids something.
Oh, you've been gypped your whole life. You've been gypped your whole life. There's no way you haven't. Because,
yeah,
like,
but,
you
know, I sort of like the idea that, like, when we go to my aunt's on Christmas Eve, she brings out a cake and interrupts everybody's holiday cheer with something all about me. I mean, I can't really complain about that.
Oh, that's a good reminder, by the way.
What?
I still have to get the cake. Stop doing that. Yeah, anyway, so I think, you know, I think that people should embrace their childhood tradition and, you know, not necessarily abandon what has been your history just because it has a Christian tinge. I mean, its origins are not Christian. That's clear as can be. I mean, the Catholics created all kinds of holidays to sort of usurp other holidays, and Christ Mass was just another, you know, example of that. Most scholars or, you know, historians don't believe that Christ was even born in December, that he was born like in January or something like that. I don't know how they would know. I have no idea. But it comes up. So, you know, really, this is about, you know, what does Christ's Mass mean? Christ means anointed one or covered one. So it basically means holy one. So it's the Mass of the Holy One or Mass of the Anointed One.
So we're going to rub each other down with oil on Christmas Day under the tree?
I don't think so. Miss Carrie will be here, and that might be awkward.
Professor Hutton, you know him. Professor...
I don't know him personally. I know of him. But his work is also not, you know, his work is not also, it's not completely supported, because although he brings up some points, Hessington and a lot of other people have now come and, you know, refuted some of his
ideas. I don't think Hessington would have written about this, but he talked about, while gift-giving may seem inextricably tied to Christmas, it used to be that people looked forward to opening presents on New Year's Day. No, I never heard of this. He wrote that they were a blessing for people to make them feel good as the year ends. It wasn't until the Victorian era of the 1800s that gift-giving shifted to Christmas. According to the Royal Collection, Queen Victoria's children got Christmas Eve gifts in 1850, including a sword and armor. In 1841, Victoria gave her husband, Prince Albert, a miniature portrait of her as a 7-year-old. In 1859, she gave him a book of poetry by Alfred Lord Tennyson. All of this gift-giving, along with the secular embrace of Christmas, now has some religious groups steamed, since the consumerism of Christmas shopping seems to contradict the religious goal of celebrating Jesus Christ's birth. Well, that is kind of true. I mean, we don't focus really on the spirituality of it, pagan or otherwise. It's really all about, shopping.
Yes, I mean, it definitely brings out it brings out that sort of selfish, greedy side in people, which, you know, Christmas has other mythologies that deal with that very idea. But, at the same time, Christmas brings out, I think that a lot of charity happens at Christmas. You know, people are more generous, or, you know, people who might not be compassionate, you know, the rest of the year about the homeless or the hungry or children's needs or whatever, I think it brings that out in people. And, you know, it's a reminder for some people that there are people who don't have. So I think there's a balance there. I think that, you know, I still think there's good in humanity, but yeah, most of us are selfish pricks. So, you know, this brings that to highlight too, which brings out one of my more favorite mythologies, which is Krampus. So, when I learned about Krampus for the first time, I was, like, amazed, because it was if, you're doing the Darth Vader thing again, it was as if Margaret Murray's entire work was revalidated, you know, looking at these festivals and looking at this image, and I thought, you know, what would this have looked like to, you know, a Roman Catholic, you know, emissary or, you know, missionary, I guess. You know, what would that have looked like if they would have been there to, you know, spread the word of Christ, and they would have seen one of these festivals, which, you know, are surrounded by a horned image who carries something that looks kind of like a broom, and, you know, birch twigs, and beats people with it, and carries chains and fiery cauldrons, and is known to kidnap and possibly consume or kill children. And, you know, he was a really, really vivid part of Christmas for a really long time. And in reality, he's the origin of Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus, you know, Krampus means Claus. That's what it means, literally. So Santa Claus is a newer incarnation of Krampus. His bag of toys used to be a bag of children. And you're doing the breathing thing again. The breathing thing. So
I think
there's a new movie coming out about. You can barely hear me.
I can barely breathe. I'm like, I'm just trying to breathe so slow, and it's still being loud. I don't know how that is.
I don't know. Is anyone else having problems hearing me, or I don't know what's going on there? Well, anyway, so there's a new movie coming out about it. I have no idea how cheesy it will be, but, you know, I'm excited to see it anyway. Krampus, you know, there used to be a time when there was Santa Claus, Krampus, and I think St. Nicholas would all travel together. There was like the Trinity of Christmas, You know, so it's evolved and changed, but, you know, this it's very interesting that, you know, this horned entity, you know, that looks very much like the, you know, medieval Christian devil, you know, the horns and the pitchfork and all that. And he's, you know, his job at Christmas is to find the bad, to find the selfish, to find the negative things in humanity and purify them, punish them or remind them. You know, it's kind of, you know, they used to tell stories of Krampus to scare naughty children, you know, like instead of, you know, it kind of, it totally puts a whole new tone on, you know, you better not laugh, you better not cry. It's like, Santa Claus is coming to town, you know. You know, if you were bad, he would come and possibly put you in his sack and either eat you, drag you to hell, or drown you into a river. You know, it was a scary creature to these people. You know, I think originally it was a local deity that was associated with winter and fertility and, you know, and all that. It transformed, but it's still with us. That's what's interesting about these mythologies, is Krampus has been popping up, you know, in recent years more and more since I learned about him. And, you know, they were making a movie about him. We saw a statue of Krampus. Marita sells, she makes sense because she's actually German. And so she probably grew up with Krampus because that's where he originates. So, you know, that's all very good. But, you know, I was just watching a video about Krampus. I think it was, I don't know, a month ago or something like that. And at the very end of it, they said no modern iconic figure better fits the bill of the god of the witches, because all his symbology is there, you know, minus the killing children part, which who knows what happened in the old days. Who knows? Maybe all those stories of witches killing babies were true. You know, no, I'm not trying to promote that. Christian's probably curdling right now, but it's interesting to look at these mythologies and see how they've changed. And, you know, you'll see these Christians talking about how Santa Claus is Satan Claus, that he's really an evil entity. Well, he kind of has been at one point in time. You know, he wasn't someone who flew around and, you know, gave people toys. He was somebody who, you know, went around looking for people who didn't deserve toys. And then, you know, this whole St. Nicholas thing came along. The church got a hold of it and kind of tried to make it more of a positive spin, like they do. And Santa Claus was eventually born, but through that birth, you know, he also brought on some other mythologies that come from other midwinter gods, including Odin. And that's why he rides around in a sleigh full of reindeer, another antlered symbol, you know, or another horned symbol. You know, with Krampus, you have the horns. With Santa, you have the reindeer. But it's the old, you know, wild hunt that was like Gwynep Nudd and, you know, Hearn the Hunter and Odin or Woden and even the angel Gabriel in some mythologies, that he would ride the wild night, you know, looking for spirits and looking for, you know, the slain to bring them back to Anwen, you know, or the other world, you know, hell sometimes.
You mean Anwen?
Anwen, I've always said Anwen. Anwen, you're probably saying it right. I know I was horrible in Wales. I couldn't say anything. But so I still can't say the name of the hotel we stayed in until, I have no idea. But, which is funny because my first teacher spoke Welsh, but I still struggle with it. So, you know, I definitely, you know, it's another mythology that sort of has, you know, kind of like Christian said, obviously Santa's become this very commercial thing. You know, now he brings toys and it's all about gifts and he's in malls, you know, asking people what they want. And he's become a commercial thing. But he actually has deep, you know, pagan origins, some of which are, you know, remaining in the midst of obscurity. We can only sort of haphazardly guess what he was originally like when or if he was actually once worshipped.
Well, I mean, I keep reading, I've been looking up stuff on, you know, the Christmas pagan thing, and there's just so much disagreement on the Christmas tree in particular. You know, like some people will say, oh, the North and the Romans and the Egyptians brought the trees in, and other people say they didn't bring trees in, they would bring like mistletoe and holly and other greenery, they wouldn't like bring a whole tree.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a part of the Bible where it condemns the cutting of trees, but it's probably, mm-hmm. from what I was reading, in reference to worshiping of the tree. But I don't see any, like, there's no source material. Like, nobody provides, it's just people passing on what they heard, but I'm not seeing, you know, source material from the primary, you know, period of time, you know, thousands of years ago or whatever, talking about bringing in a tree. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to know.
Sure,
I mean,
that, you know, I'm not sure that they actually brought in trees. I think that
I would have
probably
thought the Celts would have decorated them outside.
Absolutely, absolutely, and they still do. You know, we didn't see any, but it's still, there's still fairy trees all over Britain that are, you know, trees associated with the Sidhe or the fairies, and you'll see colored ribbons and charms. That's what I was talking about earlier. You'll see these things decorating these trees with offerings or prayers or
stuff.
You know,
it's also hard for me to imagine a pagan culture cutting down a tree just to bring it in the house. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, I could see them, you know, you're dealing with, you know, very salt of the earth utilitarian village types of, you know what I mean, rural.
They did, you know, they definitely did bring greenery in. I mean, it happened, you know, lots of times, different seasons they would, you know.
But you can bring greenery in without killing a tree.
Oh, I really don't think our ancestors, you know, if, you know, calling them pagan or whatever, I don't think our ancestors were environmentalists like that. I think that they were...
Not necessarily,
you know,
but no, I mean more utilitarian. You know what I mean? In other words, that tree could be useful.
They did it for the
maple.
That's what they would do for the maple, is they'd cut down a tree and, you know, erect a maple. Like, maybe originally it was just a tree. Who knows? But I don't think they probably brought it into their home. But who knows? I'm not really sure. I read something once that said that the origin of the modern Christmas tree was actually created by a Christian in more modern times, but I never really got verification about that. You know, I've always looked at it as being, well, what you're saying, I think they decorated them outside. They don't, never found anything, so they brought them inside.
It certainly contained old things, because there were cultures that brought in greenery and, you know, of some form, and there certainly was tree worship and decorating trees. So it I mean, all of it, there's nothing new under the sun, as they say, but
no. That's why I said in the very beginning, I think the Christmas tree mirrors pagan traditions, because I'm not sure. I don't think we're ever going to know what its actual origins is or what we're pulling out, you know, from it.
Well, there's a,
from it.
There's a Pathos, there's a article on Pathos by, I forget why I know this name, but he is something of something, Jason Mankey. I don't know. He's a blogger or some sort of thing. I've heard the name come across Facebook. But he actually talks about which things are probably pagan versus Christian. Like he said, holly and ivy are most certainly pagan traditions. On the Christmas tree, he said, the verdict is probably mostly Christian, but with a touch of pagan on the side. I'd love to argue that Dionysus set up the first Christmas tree, but it doesn't seem all that likely.
Lindsay Liu has a comment. She says, it probably started as a pissing contest. My decor is better than yours. Yeah, well, I brought in a whole effing tree. That's how trends start. Who knows? You know, it could have been. Could have been some wild party. I could see that. I could see some, you know, aristocrat having some wild party and, you know, bringing in a whole tree and decorating it inside their, you know, mansion or castle or whatever, and then it starts becoming, you know, a fashion statement. Who knows? You know, it's possible. It's possible. Look at what you were reading about Queen Victoria's children getting presents, and then everybody wanted to start doing it.
Because God knows she was the picture of festive.
You know, she was so fun at the party.
I'm posting the link here on the chat to pathos.com, and if you Google Christmas traditions, pagan or Christian, maybe throw in Jason Mankey, M-A-N-K-E-Y. This is a pretty good article, like looking at source material to try to figure out what's pagan. Like the mistletoe is a little bit of Christian and pagan. Pagans certainly decorated with it, as did later Christians, but it was Christians who began the kissing custom of kissing under, which I've never done. Like, I don't know anyone in my family that ever hung mistletoe that I can recall. Maybe, I don't know.
Uncle Johnny never hung mistletoe?
No, I'm sure if any of my family hung mistletoe, they would have probably threw something at each other and went under it or something. I love the scene. If anybody see, I think it was the movie Female Trouble.
Female Trouble? That does not sound like a movie I want to watch.
No. It is a movie. Divine. Female Trouble. Dawn Davenport. And all she wants for Christmas is cha-cha heels. And her parents don't get her the cha-cha heels. So she freaks out and knocks over the Christmas tree, and her poor mother's buried under the Christmas tree, yelling out, "Not on Christmas! Not on Christmas!" You gotta
so,
Google.
Fairy Magic posted, interestingly enough, Christian, she posted, "Queen Victoria's husband brought over the first Christmas tree to Britain from an already established Germanic tradition. After an image of her and her family in front of the tree circulated, the rest of Britain began to follow the tradition. What we would need, though, is to actually verify that it was a Germanic tradition, because I haven't actually encountered that in any of my research. So if anyone has source material of, you know, Germanic people...
I have read them saying it's Nordic, that the Norse used to bring in the trees, but there's no source material. It's just people saying
that. Yeah, that's what I would need, is the source material, absolutely.
Hold on, I'm looking up. Oh, my God, when I type in Dawn Davin, and I just get to Davin... I don't even get through Dawn Davenport. Christmas autofills. So it's definitely, you know, I'm posting this in the chat. Look up Dawn Davenport Christmas on YouTube here.
And since it's just Christian and I babbling, we'd love to hear from somebody with any questions or comments or traditions that they want to share. Call in 347-308-8731. We actually do have a caller right now. I'm going to check to see if they are calling in with a question.
Oh, they just connected.
They just dropped out. Apparently not.
That's so aggravating. If you're going to call in, you got to stay on long enough for us to bring you on. It might take a second.
It doesn't mean you have to talk. You just, if we click and you just say, you know, I'm just listening in or whatever, that's fine. You don't have to actually talk. But I don't know if I missed that person or they just didn't want to talk.
Anyway, well, I know who. I don't know. It's too late to call there. I was going to say, call in Maureen. She's always fun for a little Christmas cheer.
Oh, that would be funny. Is it too late to do that? Probably too late.
Let me see.
We could try.
Hello.
Are you
Hello?
Awake?
Who's this?
Hi. Christian.
Oh, hi. It says Brooklyn.
Hey, and Brian. I'm here too. It's Brian and Christian.
Hi.
Did we wake you?
What are you Hello? In New York? You in New York?
No, we're on the radio.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to call that radio station and ask them if... seeing that you're discussing witchcraft during Christmas time this evening, if Hansel and Gretel are safe in the forest now.
Oh, God. I love telling that story. Well, we're talking about the origins of the Christmas tree. Now, did my mother, did you always do an ornament at Christmas? Because my mother always did an ornament at Christmas. I didn't know where
well,
she got that.
Mother gave me a friendship ornament that you pass on to person to person. I should actually give you that ornament. I never did an ornament, but the kids did.
Where did that come from in our family? Did Grampy do it? I mean, I don't remember anybody. My mother always did it. Every year she'd get an ornament.
No, Well, then she may have created her own tradition. I know she gave me an ornament one time, the friendship one, which was all silver, and you're supposed to pass it on to another person the next year.
Well, we have a girl in the chat room who said that it's part of her family tradition that the parents give the kids an ornament every year.
Yeah.
You know, I got tons of them from over there. Well, remember, I don't know if you ever saw that giant tree that I bought when I lived in on Lafayette Street.
Yes, I did. Yes. It was a beautiful tree.
Well,
I had to buy
a lot of ornaments that year because it was so huge. We got a 9-foot tree now. It's not as big as the other one, but it is pretty big. It's fake, though. I swore I would never do that.
Did you keep all those ornaments?
Yeah. It's much
easier. Yeah, he still has ornaments from when he was a baby. They're like the super creepy kind that's like they're so old that, you know, like those toys in an antique store that kind of freak you out a little bit because they almost seem like they have
right.
spirit inside.
Those are the ones that have the meaning to save. Should
mm-hmm.
always buy each other an ornament every year.
We did, actually. I don't think we bought each other ornaments this year, but we did buy ornaments together. We got some St. John ornaments in St. John. That was cool.
The last time we were in St. John, we bought Christmas ornaments for this year, and then Sandra gave us a Krampus Christmas ornament.
We should start doing that, though. I didn't think about doing that. We should start doing that to where we each buy each other one, so
still do it. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and I'm sure that store's open. They have that amazing store down in the French Quarter. Santa's something or another? Santa's Hellhole, I don't know.
I don't know what it's called, I remember.
You'd be surprised the interesting amount of ornaments out there. Buy ones that mean something to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called
just
Santa's.
Just because they're cute.
It's called Santa's Quarters, and I just posted it to the chat, the web address, santasquarters.com. That's an amazing store. If you ever come down to visit us, like we want you to, there's this store in the French Quarter. It's like nothing but Christmas, and it's opened year-round.
Yeah, it is open all year-round.
I mean, they do have some Halloween stuff at Halloween, but it is primarily a Christmas thing. Someone just sent me.
A Dunkwit, Maine, like that, Christmas tree ornament shop.
So, Anne-Marie, have you ever heard of what the possible origin of the Christmas tree is? We were discussing that earlier. Have you ever heard anyone, like, have you ever thought about, like, where it came from?
I thought it was either Norwegian or Scandinavian, the origin of the Christmas tree. I haven't really caught up with that story. I remember reading about it, but obviously,
Christian thinks he's Darth Vader. That's who the breathing is.
Christian thinks what?
Are you sure it's not fan on my computer?
It could be. I don't know. Occasionally, there's this breathing that's coming across. It sounds like Darth Vader. I don't know what it is.
You're
on the same page everyone else is. As far as anyone can find out, everyone's saying it's like some sort of Nordic, you know, or Germanic tradition, but nobody has like source material. But there's got to be something, you know, out there about it because it's, you know, if everyone's.
Well, I think it borrows back and forth. I think you have, you know, there are pagan traditions that the church will take and layer over, but then other people take that and layer over that. I mean, people share things back and forth. You know, we may borrow things from
the world.
Christian
has always been one big melting pot. It's about time we figure that out.
I mean, I never really had a problem. You know, my mother would sometimes drag me to a midnight mass.
Some say it has pagan origins.
But it's all really a similar concept. I mean, people want to get out of the house. They want to celebrate something. It's, you know, if you're in a cold area, you're like, now you're dealing. And I believe there are some, I mean, isn't Britain different where, you know, I know in the case of Imbolc or the February 2nd holiday, that that's actually warmer over there than it, like, their winter happens earlier, maybe? I don't know. You know, like, if somebody's winter happens earlier, then this time of year would be especially cold.
Okay, so I have to go here. Since we have you on the air, this is a golden opportunity for you to share with all of us, including Christian fans, some sort of magical treasure story about him and Christmas. Do you have any particular memories of Christian at Christmas when he was a child?
Yeah, when he was born. Never would I have ever imagined that he'd be born on Christmas Day in a snowstorm, and his mother had to come down a steep hill walking when I picked her up. My husband and I picked her up to take her to the hospital. It was a harrowing experience.
Oh, I remember Patty, my cousin Patty, said something about, we had to stop opening our presents. So I guess I interrupted everything.
Well, stepsister didn't want to take her, so we went and gotcha.
Oh, which one was that?
Jackie. She was at Jackie's.
I was just talking about her the other day.
Yeah, she passed away. Didn't she
pass away? Oh.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Did I ever even meet her?
I don't know, Chris. I barely met her.
The only one I remember is Pam, and I only remember her because she was in a wheelchair. You know, he had some sort of token thing to remember her by. It's terrible, I know, but you know what I mean?
That's
like,
horrible,
remember,
Christian.
Well, people have cue cards. It's like, you know, if they have, like, you know, a missing eye or, you know, there's something wrong with them or they walk funny, they're easier to remember. Somebody, you know, if you've got a relative in a wheelchair and nobody else is in a wheelchair, they're easier to remember.
Well, she's not the one in the wheelchair.
Well, that's why I don't remember her.
You don't even know your relative.
She was the oldest.
She isn't a relative. They're not our family. I don't look at them as family.
No. They're outlaws, you know.
Outlaws. So how was Christian with Christmas dinner? Was he just as fussy about things touching during Christmas dinner? Did you have to give him a separate plate?
No, he ate pretty well at Christmas dinner. You know.
He still does.
He's such a bastard.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. What is your traditional Christmas dinner?
What we've been doing the last couple of years anyway is I make the ham and Christian makes the deep fried turkey. So we have both. I'm too afraid to deal with deep frying turkey.
I've done that now three times, and it's like I didn't have.
Now, do you invite guests over?
Yeah, we invite anybody who's. I mean, we would. A lot of people have families. We invite people who are, you know, free, basically. So, you know, we have a small group of people that we invite people who aren't going. You're doing the Darth Vader thing again. Darth Vader.
I wonder if it's my.
I don't know. It sounds.
I'm not
weird.
Even breathing. That's what. I don't understand. I like held my breath, and you're still hearing it.
I don't know. But you know, yeah, we've done it. You know, a couple of times to where we've invited a few people over, and you know, on Christmas Eve in particular. And then, well, last year we invited people over on Christmas Eve, and we, you know, on Christmas Eve in my family, we didn't do a dinner on Christmas Eve. We just did, like, tons of snack foods, so, like, cheeses and meats and crackers and, you know, little hors d'oeuvre things or whatever. I mean, tons of food, more food than you need, but it was never a dinner. It was just, you know.
Well, I'm sure she can relate to that. Jesus, she does that. That's just that sub.
Well, we actually don't have a Christmas dinner. We have Christmas Eve.
We do both. We celebrate
with all kinds of food, family and friends, you know, a lot of people, and celebrate it that way. And on Christmas morning, we open our gifts, and it's a long process because usually the oldest child hands them out one by one, and it, you know, it gets to be a long 4-hour process.
I had to force that.
I remember
we did the same thing. Christian wanted to open them all at once. I'm like, no, we have to do it one at a time.
My favorite Christmas memory was when they all made you get up at like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it was that year.
Now I have to wait for them. 9 o'clock comes, nobody's still here. It's like...
Well, I remember the year Tammy decided everybody had to get up at 4 or 5 or whatever it was in the morning. And I believe that was the same day you brushed your teeth with Clearasil. Because you were
oh,
so
yeah.
tired.
Yeah. I brushed my teeth nothing ever. Yeah.
Forget that.
But usually I make like this French toast casserole for breakfast Christmas morning, you know. We have coffee and whatever. But now we have leftovers from Christmas Eve, like these subs we eat for breakfast.
Those subs never get in. Every time I've ever been at your house on Christmas Eve, there's like this 20-foot long sub, and I'm like, who's going to eat this?
It gets eaten.
You're worse,
believe me.
You're worse than Brian. Like, there's like so much food.
I try to stick to Italian food because, you know, that's the festival of the fish. You know, 7 fish
oh,
you're supposed to cook. Well, I don't cook any fish on Christmas Eve, but
Leanne does the 7 fishes.
Yeah, that's a nice Italian meal. I used to go to Eddie's grandmother's and she'd do all that. Great.
Yeah, we never had fish for dinner, though. My mom did tell me that on our Swedish side, that's what they had for Christmas, is they would have fish.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of fish.
Italian food, you know. I did a tiramisu today.
Oh, God, when you make all this, you buy a lot of those little... Well, you make things too, Brian, don't you, for tomorrow night?
Tomorrow I didn't really get anything to make. Everything's like, you know, easy
to
do. The only thing, the big fancy thing that I ever made was Christmas hash browns, which you weren't that fond of, so I didn't bother making them this year. But
I don't know. I wouldn't want to do a lot of cooking 2 days in a row, but if all we're doing is
yeah.
everything.
Well, her idea actually.
But we have
sense.
A dinner.
Like
I mean, next year we're hoping to come up to your for Thanksgiving. I don't know if we'll do Christmas or I feel like Thanksgiving would be better because we can
it
actually
just depends
sit and have
on
a conference.
How things are. We obviously, you know, miss seeing you guys, but Thanksgiving we get to sort of have you all to ourselves. Where on Christmas, you know, you're kind of like the matriarch of Christmas, and nobody, you know, like you're constantly having
I
people.
I hear you. I
yeah,
hear you.
But I mean, obviously, doing both would be preferable.
So
but I've never
going,
been there for Christmas.
You guys are going to St. John's, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, February.
I was just cleaning the bathroom upstairs, and in there I have a picture of Morgan's Mango, my favorite.
I love
restaurant.
That place. Yeah,
is
that's
that
a good
still
place.
There?
Yeah. Oh, it's
it
really
is.
Good.
We went there
really
twice last year.
They had the best coconut shrimp I ever tasted in my life.
It's still good.
Yeah,
I'm gonna learn how to make that.
They might have a recipe. One of these years, I want to get a villa again so we can all go. We ended up going to the Canal Bay Resort, which is you just rent a room and it's not like a whole house. But it's right on the beach, so you literally leave the place.
What do they charge for something like that?
More than I care to tell you.
Okay.
Roughly
$1,300. It's expensive. We could go to, like, I'm not going to name names, but we invited a friend of ours who, you know, has twice as much money as we do. And even she was like, oh, that's really expensive. I could go to Italy. So I'm like,
she likes to go to the all-inclusives in Mexico. I'm just not a fan of all-inclusive. I like renting a villa. I really like doing that. But this, as far as hotels go, I like the Caneel Bay Resort because you like right on the beach. It doesn't feel like a resort. It doesn't feel like a hotel. It has a very different vibe. But I do like the villas there. I really want to go to Tuscany, and I do want to go to Italy one of these.
Yeah, I want to go to Italy in the worst way.
Well, if we want to travel Europe more, we might have to sacrifice some of the trips.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Fine, we can skip St. John next year if we have to.
I'm more of the budgeter than Christian is. My favorite story, Emmerine, is we were in the grocery store, and you'll love this. I just went out of habit. Like he was buying these yogurts that were like $3. I got for like this little teeny yogurt, but there was the same brand in a big yogurt for like $4. So I pointed that out, and, at the time we were just dating, and Christian says to me, he's like, don't be cheap with my money. He's like, I don't pay attention to the prices. I'm like, okay. So, I don't know. Same thing. You're doing the Darth Vader thing again.
It must be my...
I'm a budgeter. I believe that, a penny earned is a... Or how does that go? A penny saved is a penny earned.
Yeah, but then you try to get those no-name brand mayonnaise that,
You gotta save a little bit for your retirement.
You gotta go on my timeline and press Elf Yourself is two of separate videos. One of Timmy and Jonathan, they're gonna kill me, and one of Sage, Tommy, and Nisa. You have to press those videos and you'll have to.
Oh, the gym. But do they even have, because Tammy doesn't even have Facebook.
Now you sound like you're in a coffee can.
You like what in a coffee can?
Christian sounds like he's in a coffee can. His voice got really, small. I don't know what happened.
Oh, they don't even have
Facebook.
Are
you on radio right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were on the radio show.
Well, yeah, I knew I was on the radio, but, doesn't anybody call in?
Well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And once again, well, right now you're on, but I don't think we have any callers right now anyway. The number is 347-308-8731. We'd love to hear any comments, questions, or traditions that you would like to share about the midwinter season.
Well, Aunt Maureen, we're going to let you go, and we're going to call.
Okay, it was very nice talking to you.
We love you. We miss you.
We love you too. Merry Christmas.
Good night, honey.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Who can we torture now?
Who can we torture now? Well, let's go on to back on subject before you get somebody on here, or at least drag them into the subject matter. It's kind of my thing now. So, when we look at Christmas, traditional Christmas, we already talked about Santa Claus, but there are, lots of other things that come into play that, speak of magic and witchcraft and old religion, like Santa's elves. Elves, interesting enough, elves are very important in Nordic tradition, but they're also, they're also sort of hinted upon in Britain as well. They are a part of the fairy races, And yes, we've sort of reduced them into being, Santa's slaves who make toys, but just the fact that they're even there, just the fact that there are elves, it sort of speaks and hints once again to, Christmas's origins and how these stories all got lumped in together, and Jack Frost, Jack Frost is an iconic sort of wintry green man who's often associated with the witch's god, and he pops up in Christmas stories and songs as well, and even gets sort of regurgitated as Frosty the Snowman, Jack Frost. So, there are all these mythological characters that if you really step back and look at it, it kind of reminds me of Easter. You've got the Easter Bunny running around, leaving eggs, and, Jesus rises from the grave, and it doesn't make sense. and that, you know, that's our, that was all of our childhood. We're like, what the hell does any of this mean? You know, because it didn't, no one had an explanation. No one told you, you know, why all these things were happening. It was just, you know, yeah, it's, you know, Jesus's birthday and Santa's going to come bring you presents and he's got magical elves and yada, yada, yada. You know, we really were all raised in a confusion of mythology, and we've been born into an age where people are stepping back and saying, what does this all mean? You know, is it just nonsense, or, you know, is there a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow after all? So anyway, call, do your worst, Christian. Do your Krampus. Let's get the next kid.
Hold on. Who can I torture? I had an idea. Now it's out of my brain. Oh, hold on. I got it.
Lindsay, you can use Skype to call as long as your computer, you know, has a microphone and everything like that. You can actually Skype him. There's a button for it, I believe.
Huh. Let me see.
Who are we calling?
Lucy.
Oh, God.
Hello?
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, guys. I'm so shocked.
How are
shopping.
You?
I'm great. I'm on the radio, ain't I?
Of course you are.
Hi. I'm in the middle of shopping for Christmas dinner. Even us witches need to shop for Christmas dinner.
Well, that's overdrive. I did Christmas Eve tonight. Christian doesn't understand, because I swear to God, I do. I must have some Italian DNA, some Roman.
You do. I swear you are.
I have to. So I go, you know, we went shopping for Christmas yesterday, and we spent, you know, we got Christmas dinner, and it was like probably, I don't know, $400, something like that. So I went shopping today, and I come back with like, oh, as much or more. And Christian's like, I thought we went shopping yesterday. I was like, that was for Christmas. This is for Christmas Eve.
Christmas
like,
Eve is another whole thing. I'm right
yeah,
with
like,
you, Brian.
I had to get snacks. I had to get a trunk full of snacks. That's how I had to go down.
Well, we have fish. We do seven fishes.
I've never done that before, but we were talking about that before we called you.
I think it needs to be done. We're doing crab, lobster, baked haddock, smelt, salmon, shrimp, scallops. I believe there's seven exactly. We did good. So now I'm wandering the halls of Stop and Shop looking for my fabulous daughter who works here. She's among somewhere. She has blue hair. You can't miss her. And that's who I thought you guys were. I thought you were my little... Oh, there she is. She looks so cute.
No, you were trapped. You fell into the trap. I've done it before.
Yes, I did. It was a New York nut. I thought, who could that be? And I knew right away. So,
as long as we have you, Leanne, we were talking, like, the subject show tonight is about the magic of Christmas. That was what we made the show about. And, you know, it's witchcraft origins and the magical origins and what it means to people now. So could you share with us some maybe magical traditions that you like to do every Christmas and why, you know, why it's okay for witches to love Christmas? Witches can love Christmas.
Well,
why is that?
We call it the marketing. In Christmas. In New England, Christmas was actually outlawed because of its pagan history years ago, many, many years ago, but it was originally outlawed. It outlawed in the 1800s. So witchcraft and Christmas kind of coincide with all the magic of the stars and the trees. Those all come from somewhere, and they have all huge pagan roots. Myself, I do the Yule log. I celebrate the seasons. I celebrate the holiday separate. I do solstice.
Do you burn the Yule log or do you do the candle thing?
I do the candle thing and then I burn it. After I do the candle thing,
cool.
That Yule log is the stump of my Christmas tree. Next year's Yule log is coming from my Christmas tree this year.
Oh, wow. That's a cool idea.
So, and when I light my,
unless it's a plastic tree, then don't try this at home, kids.
It is not plastic, yeah, no, that. And if I'm lighting the log, sometimes I use I have a new log, let's say, and it didn't come from the tree, and I had a plastic one, I usually get a piece. I usually try to retrain a piece of my U log to start the fire. So that's one tradition I do.
See, those are the kind of traditions I was hoping would come up. You know, like that's cool. That's something people could do now, you know.
Yeah, right now, if you have a Christmas tree, save it. And you save that, and you use that as your Yule log next year. You won't regret it. You know what I mean? It's a great memory. It brings back memories. It also contains the magic.
You're
doing
the Darth Vader thing again.
It just contains magic, you know? He's Darth Vader. There's also the magic of going to see Star Wars, which I'll be going to see.
To see what?
Star Wars.
Oh my God! Have you ever seen it yet? It is so amazing.
I love how people up north, how we call it, Star Wars.
It's Star Wars, but isn't that Star Wars?
Star
Wars,
not Star.
It's Star Wars. It is what it is, and it's Star Wars.
Any spoilers on the radio.
I don't know.
She hasn't seen it yet, but I will tell you it is amazing. It is everything we waited for. It's great.
Oh.
For the spoiler where Princess Leia has an abortion.
Stop it.
She does not.
She didn't actually have an abortion. She's too past the age.
She's too wonderful. Sorry. I'm leaving my carriage all over on... And Stop and Shop. That's where we go shopping up here up north. We go to the Stop and Shop.
Yeah, I get it. And they have Peapod, which I can't fucking use. They got nothing.
I love my Peapod.
We're using Amazon.com to order things.
Well, no, Sandra said she used the subscription service from Target, and I went and looked into it, and it didn't really have much. So I looked into Amazon, and they had much more on their subscription service. And so I started having subscriptions, you know, so the toilet paper shows up once a month and all sorts of coffee, though Brian keeps buying it anyway, which makes me wonder, are we going
to
be able to know how much...
Well, we're out of paper towels. We are out of paper towels. It's Christmas Eve tomorrow, and we are out of paper towels because your order...
How can you even exist without paper towels, Christian?
Because his ordering system is insufficient.
All that means is I need to increase the amount that I order.
Or, you know, I could just pick some up at the store if we actually had some. I don't know. Just a thought.
Just crazy.
Well,
this is all
some?
Madness.
You just went shopping. Why didn't you grab some?
I didn't realize until I got home because you told me those were one of the things I wasn't supposed to buy because you were ordering them. Now we have
the magic. The magic of the Christmas debate.
First of all, this is the first time I've used these subscriptions, so I don't really know until we've gone through a couple cycles how much we go through.
Well, we've been entertaining
a
lot, you know, so that's part of it.
And I don't know if you're buying toilet paper. Like, if you're buying toilet paper in the in-between times, I don't know how much to increase it to. Like, the coffee, I have no idea, because we look like we have a lot of coffee up there.
I'm just terrified of running out of coffee. It's a fear I have.
Oh,
so,
no, I get panicked. You should be afraid
when I go to the store,
coffee.
I get coffee. I do it. Because it's not like we don't drink it. Like, it'll be consumed. It'll happen.
That gets
area nice. Code. Now, this is the same area code as our area code. 347, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
No, it's a Minty. I'm not 747. I'm 347.
Yeah, 347.
Oh, sorry. I heard 747. It's been a whole time since I've been on. Can I ask about candles? Is that okay or is that not okay?
Yeah, you can ask anything.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, when it comes to candle magic and it comes to the image candle, I have one candle here. I actually have a female candle. I never use it. But I'll look into the image candle.
Kristen, stop breathing. Sorry, go again. I couldn't hear anything with Darth Vader. We don't know what's going on with that.
I'm not breathing. I was holding my breath. I don't know how that's happening.
I just think it's you.
Okay,
Go ahead.
Okay, when it goes to the image candles, right? when it comes to the magic of that, I'll give an example. Let's say a woman wants to attract a certain man into her life, right? Then she, I mean, could that image can't be used for that? Or what is the true purpose of using the candles and the colors for that?
Kirsten, can you not hear the breathing? Like, I'm confused.
I literally am holding my breath.
But can you hear it? Is what I'm wondering, is if you can hear it.
No.
Oh, when you talk, it stops, but it's when you're not talking.
But when you breathe, it sounds weird. It does. It sounds scary. Like I'm afraid.
I don't know what it is, but whenever I ask you to stop breathing, it stops. So there's some connection there.
Don't
anyway,
ask him. If he stops your breathing, he might pass out and die.
Did you want to take the image question, Leanne?
Okay. Repeat your question again. Christian's voice distracted me. Sorry.
Okay, the image candles. Now, you know, how are they truly used? You know, could a woman attract, you know, a certain man that she wants with them? Or you know what I mean? And the colors.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I believe on Christmas night we're having a full moon on a Friday, which would be a great time to do some work to try to obtain some love in your life. The image candle is an absolute great way. It's like is formed to like, and if you're looking for a handsome gentleman or a lovely lady, they absolutely work. You can engrave it with a specific name.
I just wanted to show you what everyone else is hearing.
You can engrave it in a specific person's name, or you can let the universe self ready for you.
Well, what about blank? What about when you do magic and you don't? Uh-oh, I'm echoing.
Yeah, you're echoing.
No, that's Brian.
Sorry, that's me. I was trying to show Christian what the noise is, because I still feel like, I don't know.
Okay.
I came in here, it stopped. Stopped.
What about when you don't know the person? What if it's like an artist or
something? You know what? Sometimes we have to trust the universe. We have to ask, you know, the universe of you with certain deities. You have to ask them to give you the best possible future. You say to them, you say, you know, put me in the right path to receive the person that's most suited for me. Sometimes we have to give up a little bit to trust. We're so busy trying to control every aspect of our own lives that we forget that there are higher powers out there looking to guide us. Sometimes the thing we want isn't the thing we should have. So it's okay to say, hey.
I have a wood-burned image of Christian's face that I put on my love altar to make him my slave. And Leanne's right, sometimes we want we shouldn't have. So I got bad karma about it, and we got married, and now I'm in living hell.
I'm teasing. It's for all of them. See, you know, if you're looking for, sometimes you have to ask the universe, or you wake up and you'll be married to Christian. You know, be careful of it. Be careful of your magic.
Be careful of witchcraft. It's dangerous.
So what is, question about Christmas now. What is Santa Claus really? Who is Santa, or what is the energy of Santa Claus really?
What do you believe out there listening for you?
I think Santa Claus is an evolution of two things. I think his origins exist. Well, actually, it's more than two things. Like, I think he's Krampus, and he's St. Nicholas, and he's, like, Odin, and Gwyneth Nudd, and he's all these different pagan icons, except for, you know, St. Nicholas, which I don't know if he was a real person or not, which I call him a saint. But he's a combination of both, you know, pagan deities and other mythological characters. So he means a lot of different things.
And I agree with Brian. He's a little bit of everything. He's a little bit of all of our faiths rolled together.
He's our real
God. He is a real God. And he is Santa Claus, and his magic is real. It's real. We keep him alive through tradition. Maybe we actually created him out of nothing, but there is an actual energy that exists, and it lives in the hearts of young and old.
Well, especially children. Like, I remember looking out, you know, my window, wondering if I was going to catch a glimpse of the sleigh. I bet you everybody did that.
Yeah, of course we, you know, and that's the magic of the season. It also makes us a little happier. It makes us forgive a little more. It gets us into touch with old friends, and it has us forgiving and letting go. To me, that's what Christmas is. It's about family. And it's about love.
Oh, you know, real quick, something hit me. Going back to the candy magic. Years ago, a lady warned me, and she told me, she said, don't light a male candle, because if you do it, you know, different men are going to come after
what?
You. And I didn't listen. And I lit it, and I lit the male candle, and it exactly, oh, God, I can't talk too loud.
Maybe it's the fan from the computer.
Yeah.
There.
All right, I'm still trying to solve the great mystery of Darth
His
Vader.
Breathing. Yeah, it's that Vader.
Well, you're going to have to run the switchboard if I have the switchboard near me. I think that's what's causing the noise.
I may lose you guys in a second.
Oh, you can go if you need to, Leanne. We know you
I'm just because I'm ringing at my register. I'm in.
No,
you know
what? Go.
If I get out of
Merry
here,
Christmas.
I'll call you back. All right?
We love you. All right.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
I will call you guys tomorrow.
Merry
Christmas.
Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, to ask our caller, did you have any other questions or comments?
No, not really. It was just the candle magic stuff I wanted to talk about, really. That's what I wanted to, you know, indulge in since the full moon is going to be here Friday and stuff.
Well, I think magic, you know, I think magic doesn't have limits or bounds. It's, you know, what you put in is what you get out of it, and it's, you know, it can work. It doesn't always work. Part of it, it's like being a scientist and performing experiments. Some work, some don't. However, you know, it doesn't have an alignment in the sense that it's, you know, you can use it for good and you can use it for evil. However, there's a consequence if you use it incorrectly, or there can be a consequence, you know. And I think that you have to be very careful about, you know, what you ask for. And like Leanne said, you know, we've all been in we've all been in breakups to where we were like, shattered. Our heart was shattered because we were dumped, or maybe we dumped the person, but we felt like we couldn't go on. We couldn't live without that person. It was the most horrible feeling we've ever felt. Fast forward to 2 years later, we're with somebody else and we're happy. So the reality of the situation is what you think you want isn't always what's best for you. You have to be very careful when you work the magic through love, because especially if you're doing it for yourself, because, you know, you might be, you know, you might be missing out on Mr. Right by invoking Mr. Wrong. You know, you've got to be very, very careful. But, yes, it can work, sometimes to your own peril, however. So, anyway, Merry Christmas. Thank you for calling in. We're going to – were you listening in on the phone?
Yes.
All right, so I'll just put you on mute then, and we'll see if we have any other callers. Thank you for calling in. Happy Christmas.
No problem. Same to you.
So this is Christmas. What have you done? Are you there? Brian?
I am so swift, I muted myself instead of the guest. I guess I should look at the numbers more carefully. Anyway, if anyone else wants to call in or has any questions or comments, please dial 347-308-8731. We'd love to hear from you. And you were saying, Christian?
I don't remember. I have the pool on superchlorinate. I guess the filter was off for like a day, and I don't know why it was off.
In case we want to go swimming on Christmas Eve. He knows it would be really fun to call, but he's – no, I don't want that because he's probably working. Do you see what, like, maybe a Jew witch thought about magical Christmas? What do Jew witches do on Hanukkah? I don't know. Maybe they have 8 candles instead of 7 on the menorah. I'm not really sure.
Well, he's also – he's Judah.
He's Judo. He's a that is the best word ever. Judo. So we probably shouldn't bother him, but it would be fun. Let's see. What have we not covered about this magical season? Well, it's been going on for a really long time. We've talked about that. Like, it's been a part of human history. Like, there's not a written record of a time where there weren't some sort of holidays going on at this time of year, which comes down to the winter solstice. That's why the holidays are attracted to this season. And you see that with the turning points of any of the astrological anomalies. But I don't know, like, you know, there's so many mysteries, I guess. I think Christmas, you start out as a child with it being like this confusing mythology that makes you wonder. And I think when you look at it as an adult, if you really look at it objectively, it's still the same thing. It's like we've hints of how these things became important, but you know, we're asking all these questions like, where did the Christmas trees coming from? Like, where does that come from? And nobody really seems to have a definitive answer. It's still sort of like this sort of obscure thing. Like, did we just start doing, you know, who just decided to do it? I can't remember who it said, one of the callers said that it was Queen Victoria who kind of made it a fad, which that's kind of how I thought. I think most of these things happen. Like, you'd have these rich aristocrats having Halloween parties, and then pretty soon, you know, it trickles down, and other people, you're doing the breathing thing again. God, I figured that out. It sounds like somebody's dying in the cancer ward.
I don't know what to do. I don't hear any, like, and when you say it, I'm not even breathing.
But whenever you talk, it stops. So it's something, something's going on there. So whenever I say it to you, it stops. So I don't know what it is. But we'll try to figure that out for future episodes, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe Christian should ask Krampus for a new microphone for Hexmas. Hexmas. That's our next festival, Hexmas. Could be a Krampus.
Oh, God.
So I don't know.
Well,
we did talk about
cutting out a little bit early tonight, if we could.
Yeah, we can. Like, we realized this episode was a lot of content, sort of dependent on callers and, you know, what was happening. But, you know, what Christian and I wish for all of you is that you embrace the season fully, you know, that you embrace the solstice, you embrace Christmas, all the mythologies, the magical mythologies that come into this, you know, time of year, and, you know, just embrace the magic, you know, and remember it is a time of giving, and it's a time of receiving, and it's a time of remembering. You know, they used to tell ghost stories at Christmas to remember the ancestors, because this is a family time, you know, and I think it always has been. It's a winter festival. People were confined to their quarters, so to speak. So it was a real time of bonding with those people, you know, that you loved, and remembering, you know, the people that you loved that aren't with you anymore. And I think we still all do that at Christmas. Christmas brings back the memories of everyone we ever knew and loved that celebrated Christmas with us. So, you know, don't reject Christmas. Reclaim it. It is.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Yeah, it is one of my favorite holidays.
It's a magical holiday, and you know, to me, it's the solstice. It's the same thing. I do a separate thing on the solstice. I do a ritual. We did a solstice party. We're doing a Christmas Eve get together. We're doing a Christmas dinner.
What about a solstice
and I'm having,
party?
We did have a solstice party on the 19th.
No, a solstice party.
I don't know what that is.
Didn't you ever see God Warrior? On that trading.
Oh, gurgles and psychics.
Gargoyles, psychics. They had a solstice party. Let's have a solstice. She actually lives like God, probably less than 10 miles away. We should try to invite her to our next solstice party.
Oh, yeah, let's say we did and don't. But anyway,
oh my God,
I want to
be in her world.
Ahead.
I want to know her. Like, I want her to be our friend.
That's funny. So we're going to only stay on for a little while longer if we don't have any call-ins, because it's basically when it's just the two of us, it sort of depends on, I don't know, what we feel like. So if you have any questions or comments, please dial 347-308-8731. We'd love to hear from you. Yes, Christian, what were you saying?
I was trying to text you.
Yes, of course we can. So we're probably wrapping it up for the evening. Our next show is actually going to be about Gardnerian witchcraft. And, you know, I do have a couple potential call-in guests who might call in to discuss it. But regardless, we're going to be looking at Gardnerian witchcraft and the origins of, you know, modern-day Wicca, I guess we could say. And we're just going to be talking about that. So if you're interested
in
that subject.
You can't say who the guests are? Can we say who the guest is?
Well, I do have Jane Harper is planning on joining us. So the other one isn't confirmed.
Isn't she one of the leading Gardnerians?
Well, she is a very important figure in the California line of Gardnerian witchcraft. So I suppose, yes, in America, she's definitely been an iconic figure within those traditions. I enjoyed chatting with her. We've had many phone conversations. She's a very wise lady, and she's going to be calling in to sort of, you know, share some of her expertise with us. But at the same time, it's just, like I said earlier, it's a subject regardless. So we've got, I could just read the book. I'm just kidding. I won't do it. But we're going to be discussing that because it's the origin of modern-day craft practice for most people. And even if you don't practice Gardnerian witchcraft, it's a very interesting piece of our modern-day history and worth exploring. So we're just going to set some time aside to discuss that, and hopefully we'll get caller participation. So anyway, we're going to call it a do, and we wish you all a happy solstice, a happy Yule, a Merry Christmas, and a wonderful New Year. Blessed be everybody.
Good night, everyone, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Yule.